Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your radio show host, Randy Fine. I have a really great show for you today. You're going to want to stick around, and this is something we can all relate to, because today we have best-selling author Jo Lublin. Her newest book could not be timelier, The Prophet of Kindness, How to Influence Others, Establish Trust, and Build Lasting Business Relationships, makes the case that acting out of kindness is not just an act of goodness, but it pays dividends on the bottom line. Jo Lublin is an international speaker on the topics of success through kindness, radical influence, publicity, networking, and referrals. Her three national bestsellers include Get Noticed, and the co-author books, Guerrilla Publicity and Networking Magic. Jill is a master publicity strategist who has worked with over 100,000 business owners, authors, and other professionals to help them position their businesses, services, and products for more profitability and more visibility. And how can we ever not enjoy a show about kindness? Because it's so part of A Fine Time for Healing. So let me introduce you to our special guest. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Randy. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Oh, and I meant to actually mention to those who are listening that Jill's website is jilllublin.com. That's jilllublin.com. Okay, so good morning. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
We'll have fun. So I want to start with a quote that I saw in your book, and you said, "It is estimated that 15% of our financial success comes from knowledge and skills, while 85% is born out of our ability to connect with other people." I thought that was powerful. As a matter of fact, I've typed that up and made copies for my business to put up in all the rooms. I love that.
Wow, I love that too.
Yeah, I love that. So tell us about how you got started in the business of kindness.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm thinking about, is there a business of kindness? That's very interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. But I will tell you that kindness is great for business. I don't know that there's a business of kindness per se, unless you make T-shirts and pins and other fun things. And, you know, interestingly enough, funny you should say that, because I read a great article in response to the unkindness that's been happening in these days. A wonderful woman out of Sacramento started making signs that said, be more kind, and her demand is so high, she actually had to start an actual business. It was just kind of a hobby, and she got so many orders. That's the business of kindness. But let me tell you that to be kind on a daily basis is, for me, it's not just business, and it's good for business, but it's the way to be that will make you more money. It'll get you more visibility. It'll create more prospects and customers and clients for you. We have proven in the Profit of Kindness through research that not only is your team happier, your employees happier, you're happier, tend to be more happy, more physically fit, and tends to be healthier, but really your life is just better. I mean, you know, kindness does lead to more happiness and more financial wellness, and that's in small companies, solopreneurs, and big companies.
And I totally agree. It amazes me that anyone can run a business with employees and not be kind. It just amazes me that they would do that and people would actually stay, but people need jobs, and so they're forced to stay in that kind of environment. But it's a horrible environment to have to work in. So kindness does not mean being a marshmallow or a doormat. Kindness can involve boundaries as well. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, people, I think, mistake, if you're kind, you know, it means that one can be rolled over, so to speak. You know, here's the thing. You've got to have firm boundaries. It is important in life generally to know what works for oneself, one's company, and how you run your business. All of that's important. So to be kind means you're doing the right thing, and you're looking for ways to extend yourself, in my opinion, and your company and your services. And that doesn't mean you don't have policies. So, for instance, last week, you know, I do a lot of PR consulting, and I speak, and I train companies. And last week, one of my clients came to my call, her consulting call, and clearly she was stressed out, and she was in the middle of tax stuff, and she hadn't quite completed some of the assignments we talked about, and she pretty much presenced that to me, and I said, you know what, it doesn't sound like today's a good moment for you. Why don't we create another time for you? And she's like, yeah, but Jill, your contract says that if I miss a session, I am charged for it. And I said, yeah, that's what my contract says, but you know, let's just be human beings here and don't worry about it. You know, my general rule, Randy, is that 80% of the time, policies are good. 20% of the time, we do some different things. And to me, I like to have the 80-20 rule. And that is that I have things in place, and yes, I have policies and procedures. And, you know, life happens. So I think that we need to be, funny enough, one of the Profit of Kindness pathways is flexibility. And I do think in today's world, that's really an important trait. So, yes, we have boundaries. Yes, we have policies and procedures. And, yes, we have flexibility. And sometimes things just have to shift and change a little bit.
Absolutely. I can really relate to that. My husband and I own two massage envies down here in South Florida. And we have a total of about 90 employees between the two places. Mm. So we have to have rules in place or the place would be chaos. But we are dealing with 90 individuals. And like
yes.
you said, life happens. So so there has to be exceptions to every rule, and you do have to consider what's going on in people's lives. You know, that's really important. So you talk
Absolutely.
About the seven,
by the way,
about
I,
the pathways.
I love massage.
To...
Go ahead, uh-huh. I'm sorry. I love massage. I'm actually a client, and
oh,
I think it's
yay.
Terrific. And I've had franchise owners in my publicity course and all kinds of things. Yes, absolutely. Fabulous.
Very
massage
cool.
Massage is terrific.
That's wonderful. Well, we love the franchise. So you talked about flexibility as being a pathway to kindness, and I know that there are seven. So can you talk about some of the other pathways to kindness?
Absolutely. Another pathway to kindness, and in the Prophet of Kindness, I mentioned that these are called ROKs, R-O-K, Return on Kindness. You know, everyone's concerned about ROI, and as you should be, of course, as a business owner. And when you have ROK, Return on Kindness, what happens is, interestingly enough, your bottom line goes up. So I've identified seven of them in the Prophet of Kindness. We talked a little bit about flexibility as one of them. Another one is generosity. So being, you know, good to your employees. Like you said, you know, you have all these individuals. They are individuals, and one must deal with them, shall we say, individually. But I think generosity is really a key. Gratitude is another one. Really just, you know, thanking people for your service, giving them, like I send cash bonuses, you know. It's just fun. Cash always works, right? People receive
always
something in the mail. And it's like, oh, wow, you know. Yeah, it's really fun. And it's fun to open, you know, a $100 bill. It's just, it's a simple thing that makes a big impact. Positivity. You know, the reality is we all have many times where things may or may not be as positive as always. And I think, you know, just life in general, we're all dealing with things. But certainly, and again, studies have proven over and over that a positive attitude helps create a much better life, regardless of your circumstances. So I think that's really important. Patience is another return on kindness a pathway. And what's so interesting, you know, when I was writing the chapter on patience for Prophet of Kindness, everything came up to test my patience. It was hysterical. You know, and my joke is, you want to test your patience, call a utility company. Yeah, call a utility company and just stay on the phone while the auto attendant takes you round and round. Have you ever tried that? Oh my gosh!
Oh my gosh! Yes, yes.
Yeah, it was funny. I was ordering my iPhone 7 the other day, and I got all the way to the part where I was actually ordering the phone and giving them my credit card and all that fun stuff. And I swear, we had been on the phone for an hour. I'm really not sure why it took an hour. I mean, you'd think they'd have the system down a bit. But anyway, here I was an hour into the call with all the questions and all the points of information. And next thing I know, the phone dropped. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know.
Oh,
now,
gosh.
Here's what's interesting to me. Why didn't the gentleman call me back? I don't know. He had my phone number, you know. And you know, when someone's giving you a credit card, you'd think they'd at least call you back. And he didn't call me back. So then I had to call them back again and explain the situation and explain that the gentleman had kept me on for an hour. And I said to the woman who, you know, took that call, I said, you know, I just want to tell you what happened and what my experience was, and I want to tell you that I will not be on for an hour for this call, so I need you to handle this in a really effective way and be efficient. She got it done in 15 minutes. Now,
wow.
You know, and she really hurt me. She said, I'm sorry for your time there. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure why he didn't call you back, you know. And she just acknowledged it. And I think, see, this is the part about you don't just roll over. I mean, the kind thing to say to her was, I was upset from the previous call. I need you to take care of this better. And she did, you know. And so I'm a happier client because of that and a happier customer. So that's what I'm saying about kindness and flexibility. And in her case, it was being compassionate, which is another return on kindness. Yes, I understand, Ms. Lublin, that must have been difficult, you know. That's sometimes all you really need to hear. And what I've discovered, and I'm sure you understand this based on what you do, but, you know, when people are upset, you have to hear them. Otherwise, it just sits there between you, and it affects business. So I think that's
absolutely
really a case.
Yeah, I had to
so
deal
those,
with somebody
those
this time. That's great. That's, yeah. I mean, and that they all make sense. I had to deal with a client this morning who there had been a change of policy. She had not been notified, and she'd been with our location for 4 years. All of a sudden something changed, and she was really upset. And so the clinic handled it according to policy, and she was really upset. I called her this morning, and she said to me, Thank you for taking the time as the owner to introduce yourself and to call me and to try to work this out, you know. And we talked, and she totally calmed down, you know. We talked it out. She's going to come in and meet me, you know. So the whole thing changed. She was thinking that a new owner is now changing all the policies on her, but just that little phone call made so much of a difference to her. So I really, really get it. And it is, to me, it is the only way to do business.
It is, and it's a beautiful way. You know, like you say, I mean, you own a feel-good place, which is important, that people have an important, pleasurable experience when walking in. And I think that's really a key. But also knowing, you know, listen, we're all in business. Things happen. And I think listening to the what's happened, how can I serve you, what do you need to feel better, and, you know, what will make a difference. But really, you know, your extension of time, which, by the way, is very kind. Listen, all we have every day is time, money, energy, and resources, the four things, right? The question is, how will you spend it? And what I see is people who are willing to spend some time and create connection, which is another return on kindness path, connection, which is what you were doing with your customer. She felt connected to. She felt listened to. She felt compassion. She felt patience. You know, she felt generosity on your part of time. And extending one's time is generous, especially in these days as time becomes a more precious asset. So these are things to really take into account that all constitute kindness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we talked about flexibility, connection, generosity, gratitude, positivity, patience, and you said there's seven. Are we missing one?
Flexibility. Did we put that one in? And then
flexibility,
connection.
Yeah,
and connection.
Generosity, gratitude, positivity, patience. Oh, I guess
and connection.
And no, I said connection. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, we don't have to waste time doing that. I'm sure it will come up as we talk because it's so you know, much a part of, you know, what you promote and teach. So,
well, thank you. You know, let me just tell them just in the beginning here. If go check out The Profit of Kindness, and you can see that at profitofkindness.com. That's P-R-O-F-I-T, profitofkindness.com.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So everything will be there when they go look at that. Excuse me. So how do you change, if you're someone who gets stressed out easily, how do you change your attitude to put forth an aura of kindness?
You know, I don't know that it's an overnight process per se, but I think little things can start to make a difference. So one of the things I say is, you know, just notice how are you being. And I have to do this for myself all the time and stay vigilant, right, in terms of how I'm being. You know, there's situations in life that constantly, I think, test us. But I do think taking small actions consistently, you know, watching how you are with your spouse, with your family members, with your animals, on the street, you know, just give someone a smile. Costs nothing. Absolutely simple to do. And just, you know, even if you're on your phone and all the distractions we have, make a connection with somebody walking by you and smile at them and watch what happens. It's really been interesting. The other day I was traveling for a speech, and where I parked my car, I have to admit, this couple was just taking forever. You know, I had like a flight I had to catch, and they're just redoing their car to get it right in the place and right in the parking spot. And I'm like, I noticed for me that my patience was getting a little just to an edge, right? And then they came on the bus, and they were very sweet and very friendly. It's like, you know, for them, obviously time was not of the essence, but they were like, oh, hi, everyone. Good morning. And I have to tell you, I was just so impressed by that. And, you know, part of me was like, well, God, it took a long time for you to get on the bus. That was my inner thought. It was. And the kind thing was to smile back and to say, good morning. Even though, I know inside of me I had a slight irritation, and I know for them, even I could tell she was a bit irritated with her husband going, please park the car correctly. And, you know, I could see all this happening, right? And she knew that they were taking a long time. And I'm sure when she got on the bus, her good morning to all of us was her kind way of connecting. And her, in a way of saying, hey, I'm sorry it took so long. But she didn't quite say that. You know, that was a kind thing. And I thought it was adorable that she got on and goes, good morning, everyone. You know? So,
oh, I love that. I love that.
Yes,
I was in line at Ross the other day, and I don't know what it is about that store, but there's always a long line. And I'm standing there, and this woman starts to talk to me. And she says, you know, it's so nice to connect with you. She says, look around. Everybody's on their cell phones. It's so nice to connect face-to-face with somebody that I can actually have a conversation with. And I thought that was so nice that she took time to notice that. Mm-hmm. So we do see it in all aspects of our lives. I think cell phones are probably the rudest thing ever invented. But
they certainly have taken away our connection. It's funny because although they keep us so connected, they've taken away our connection. It's a fascinating dichotomy. And we are all, you know, so busy being so connected, checking our email, et cetera. I notice for me, you know, when I'm on airplanes, I'm not talking as much to the passenger next to me because I'm busy, you know, last minute checking my email. I'm doing it too because I'm utilizing the time I have to catch up. And yet,
right.
On one of my flights recently from Florida, as we were talking about earlier, what I noticed is I connected to the man next to me. What was so interesting about that is he turned out to have known another one of my friends in Fort Lauderdale. He connected me to this person and said, oh, you gotta call him. Next thing I know, I'm texting my friend in Florida, and we got to see each other. I didn't even realize he lived in Florida, this other friend of mine. So how fabulous
is
that? I would have missed that connection had I been too busy on my phone.
That's right. There are no coincidences, are there?
Yes,
you talk about, you talk about how we desperately need at this time a global attitudinal adjustment. How do we do this?
How do we adjust, you mean?
Well, you know, everybody thinks, oh, well, it's just me in a sea of millions of people. How do I make this attitude, this global or, you know, national change of attitude? So it starts with one person, right?
It starts with one person. Always. Everything starts with, you know, the action of one individual. Who was it, Eleanor Roosevelt, who said, you know, never doubt the actions of one person? Is she the one who said that? I love that quote. Around never doubt the actions of one person can change the world, you know? And as you look at people who've changed the world, they are one person. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, you know, these are one person. You know, I'm not quite saying that right, but this is one person who's made a big difference and started a movement, perhaps, which, you know, for me, I really want to start a kindness movement, and really that every person takes, shall we say, individual responsibility to be more kind in their personal life, in their business life. Then in their business life, when you're being more kind in your business life, you're affecting, as you say, all your individuals who are working with you, right? You've got 90 people who your actions of kindness will affect every single one of them. Then they will talk about our fabulous boss, Randy, and you know, her demonstration of kindness and compassion and who she is in the world. And they'll speak of that, and then that will impact other people. That's really how it is. It's like spider webbing out. And so, you know, it's interesting because sometimes we can't necessarily tell that our actions make a difference. And I know what's been happening with me recently is that all of a sudden people are reflecting some things back to me in a positive way that I never realized were making an impact. Like, you know, like the fact that I smile when I'm, you know, greeting people, or, you know, maybe smile a little more than other people do. And And sometimes, you know, it's something I didn't really know affected people. I remember, I have to tell you, this was interesting. 10 years ago, I spoke on a wonderful presentation with a number of speakers, other speakers. And when I was being introduced, the man who introduced me said, you know, I just want to introduce Jill Lublin. He read my bio, and then he said, and she's got a wonderful heart. And I thought, well, that was really sweet. You know, I mean, I was touched by that. 10 years later, here I am, I swear to God, last January, and I was on the same stage at the same company 10 years later with a new CEO who I've also helped. I help people get book deals and help people who've already got books get foreign rights deals. And I helped him get a book deal, major book deal with Simon & Schuster. Well, not only, of course, was he very grateful for that, but he's worked with me and knows me and said in his introduction, and the woman with a big heart. Now, I thought about this. This was 10 years later, same company, different CEO, and an interesting introduction. And it didn't really hit me. I know this sounds funny, but it didn't really hit me till 10 years later that, wow, this was a distinction that they saw about me, that, you know, I'm very grateful and feel very humbled that they spoke about me. And I realized that that is a distinction. And like, wow, you know, one of my thoughts was, well, maybe I should use this in my marketing materials. But not really, because it's just who I'm being. What I'm saying is that the truth is people notice. And that's what we need to bring forth. Like, just really, truly, who are we? And if we're not necessarily that way as a natural way of being, start to take small actions. You know, go hold the door open for the person behind you. Pay for the Starbucks of the person behind you. You know, hold the woman with the baby. Like, ask her if she needs some help. You know, I noticed someone had 2 bags of groceries and, you know, their hands were really full. And I'm like, do you need some help? You know, the other day I had a great story. One of my friends said to me, she lives in Reno, Tahoe, and there's snow there. And she was driving along looking for, she's investing in a second home. And she was driving around the neighborhood and noticed a woman shoveling her driveway. And she noticed that that woman seemed to be having a hard time with it. And she was alone, you know, doing this. And so Suzanne stopped and she said, can I help you shovel your driveway? And the woman kind of looked at her, really surprised, you know, like, really? And she said that. She goes, really? She goes, yes, I'd love you to help me shovel the driveway. And it turned out she was having a really hard time. It was very physically challenging for her. And Suzanne's strong, and, you know, her shoveling the driveway really made a difference for this woman. That was such a simple thing. That was an act of generosity, compassion, time. And what's interesting is the neighbor next door noticed the two of them shoveling the driveway and actually came over and said, can I help you shovel the driveway? The three of them were shoveling the driveway together. Now, when's the last time you've seen something like that happen? You know, that in a way strangers come together to make a difference, to help each other. That's how it used to be. And I think we've lost that in our modern day world. And then the cutest thing happened too is that this woman called Suzanne back up and said, hey, I made some oatmeal cookies, and you got to come over because I was going to give you some oatmeal cookies. You know, it's just precious things that we've kind of lost.
Yeah, my sister has a friend who, if he's in a restaurant or Starbucks or whatever, and there's a service man of any, whether it be military or police or whatever, if he sees them in line, he will pay for them, for their meal, for their drink, whatever it is. And it's just such a beautiful thing to do.
It absolutely is. I'll tell you, one of the simple things I do is I go to the dollar store or Costco and I buy those wonderful packages of tuna salad or chicken salad, and I have them in my car, and anytime I see somebody who needs food, I give it to them. Or I'll package up, you know, almonds, or I'll bring tangerines, and I just keep things in my car, and anytime someone needs food or they have those wonderful, terrible signs that say, I need money, I need a job,
right,
at least that gives something. Right. So that's small ways.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. It really is. It costs very little, and it means so much. You know, and while you were talking about, you know, that presentation and how you were represented, I was thinking about that's really another form of kindness is to let others know what you value about them. So, you know, not just necessarily being kind, but someone who you recognize as being spectacular or kind or whatever in some area, to let them know, because we don't necessarily take the time to do that. So that's another thing.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. So we're talking today to Jill Lublin, the author of The Prophet of Kindness. Her website is, I'm getting it. I got it right here. Which website do you want me to give out?
I would love Prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, prophetofkindness.com. And
okay.
Let me just say, if you also want to reach me and talk to me about any way I can support you, please send me an email to support@jilllublin.com. And I don't know if you have show notes, but please put them in there if you do. But support@jilllublin.com.
And that's L-U-B-L-I-N.
That's right.
So, Jill, is there anything that you would like to share, you know, that you think is very important to cover while you're on my show?
Oh, thank you. So I think that the real issue here, you know, in our wild, chaotic world we're having right now, is that kindness is the new respect. You know, you can have differing viewpoints. You can have different ways of being, but I do think that we need to show a respect of kindness. I have a wonderful story of a woman I work with, and she was telling me that she went to celebrate her birthday in a fabulous French restaurant in Boston. This was recently, and there was a Marine there. Now, you know, this Marine had a very different viewpoint from her, and she said they were starting to engage in heated discussion about politics, and he was kind of like yelling at her, you know, in kind of a Marine-like way. And she just kept saying to him, tell me what that means to you. Let me understand that, you know, explain that to me. But, and, you know, in a nice way, right? Explain that to me. Tell me what you mean by that, which I thought was a really good way to listen to his viewpoint. By the end of the time, they were hugging, exchanging phone numbers. You know, it didn't matter that they were at the opposite sides of the spectrum. And as she puts it, she's a, you know, a black, fat, gay woman, and he was ultra-conservative Marine who probably, you know, had many prejudices. And she just said, she goes, you know, here we were, opposite extremes, in a way yelling at each other in this gorgeous French restaurant, and it ended well. And that was because they listened to each other and spoke and just, you know, really let each other be heard, and that was respect. So I think it's really imperative in these times to listen, to take time to be kind. You know, Ellen DeGeneres has been saying it for years, be kind to one another. That's how she ends every show. What a great way to, you know, to approach life. And that's really what I want people to think about.
Yes, and I've noticed that Ellen does that. That is really an incredible way to approach life. I definitely agree. You know, you can't even go on Facebook anymore, and you know, because everybody's so divided and in their own corners and everything like that. And it really is kind of disturbing. And not only does it divide them, you know, politically, but it just divides us as people, because nobody wants to talk to them because they know all they're going to do is mouth off about, you know, about politics. So you pretty much, it pretty much shuts down that relationship that you have with that person. And yes, we need to understand that we don't want a nation or a world of clones, cookie cutter people walking around. It takes all kinds. It takes all kinds of opinions, perspective, no two people have the same exact perspective on anything. So we need to understand that about each other and appreciate that about each other.
Thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's really important.
Right. And, you know, and it's the same thing like in relationships and marriages like and things like that, especially when you're, you know, in a relationship with the opposite sex and they do not perceive life the way that you do. But often we expect that they do, and we get upset, you know, when they don't come through for us. So, yes, we can extend kindness in so many different ways, but it is, like you said, about listening to the other person, hearing what their needs are, and addressing it.
You bet. Thank you.
Yes.
You got it. And really listening and knowing that you're not going to agree with everything, and these are polarized times. And I think even more so in polarized times, important to be kind. That doesn't mean you can't have opinions or take action and do what you need to do to be kind to yourself, to be kind, you know, to your beliefs, and that still means to be kind to each other.
Right, right. So is there a in your tell us about your book and tell us about you know what we can get out of your book, The Prophet of Kindness.
So a couple things. One is every book I've written, and this is my fourth book now, I'm really into making things very simple, easy to do. So you will find every chapter just, you know, loaded with here's some simple things to do. Here's some good stories. We've done a lot of research also proving about kindness and how it works. And then real implementation about what you can do every single day. So what I've noticed is even people looking at the title makes them more kind, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So what I'm always committed to is that anyone who reads my books or works with me in any way is taking a step forward with regard to having kindness implement quickly. And also, you know, listen, I'm a PR expert, and what I know is those that are more kind, businesses that are more kind, receive more visibility, more credibility, more trust in the marketplace. And what I know on being kind is that that you too will receive the benefits. And we outline how to do this quickly, simply, and easily. That's always what's important to me.
And your book is available in what way? How can we get your book?
So you go to prophetofkindness.com, P-R-O-F-I-T, prophetofkindness.com. And you can also go to any bookstore and ask for it, and they can typically Barnes & Noble does carry it. So please go check it out and get your life more kind. That's what's most important right now.
Awesome. And do you conduct workshops? What kind of community outreach do you do or personal outreach do you do for people?
So, yes, I do publicity workshops, and I do them live. I'm actually coming to Florida in March, and then I also do them as live Zoom webinars. So it doesn't matter where people live. The truth is what I do is help you get your publicity done without spending a fortune and make it really, really simple. So I have a publicity workshop, and if you go to publicitycrashcourse.com, you can read all about it. And just let me know that you've heard about it on Randy's show, and we give a wonderful, generous discount to you. And I also work with people privately, so I do public relations consulting, and I train corporations and companies in everything from messaging and marketing to how to be more kind and work with people's teams to implement kindness strategies that make huge impact for revenue and more interaction, better interaction, and higher productivity for the company.
Excellent, excellent. So I guess you can Skype really anywhere if people want
Absolutely.
To do a one-on-one with you. Yeah.
Absolutely. I work with people all over the world.
Where are you going to come to in Florida?
Oh, I'll be in Orlando, Florida.
You'll be in Orlando.
And I have workshops scheduled in Orlando, New York, the Bay Area, Los Angeles. And then again, it doesn't really matter if people don't want to travel. I do it as the publicity course is a live Zoom webinar, and it's still live with me, still same great course, and we cover all the content, and people actually get a system for publicity and get their publicity done right there in the course. So it's a lot of fun.
Wow. So does it cost a lot to do publicity for businesses?
Not, I wrote the book Guerrilla Publicity, so not the way I do it with people, and I'm really big on a systematic way to get publicity done. And in fact, I had a wonderful several Massage Envy franchise owners in my publicity course in the Bay Area. But one of the things that I'm really big on is systematic approaches, because there's ways to create ongoing recognition in the community, and I've got the ways to do that keep it consistent and persistent, as I like to call it, that keep the name recognition going, and then also some really simple ways for ongoing name recognition that create visibility building and trust in the community that get your name out there consistently as a business owner and as a business. So I've got all kinds of strategies to do that are implementable and quick and frankly do not cost a fortune, because, you know, if you work with a PR agency, you will be spending $3,000 to $5,000 a month. But with guerrilla publicity tactics, it's much simpler than that and far less expensive.
I'm ordering the book today.
Oh, thank you so much. And come to me with my course in March in Orlando. It'll be wonderful.
Yeah, I would love to do that. You know, we have advertising people knocking down our door, calling all day long. They're just blowing up our phone lines. And they're all overpriced, and they all say they're number one. So you kind of, after a while, you kind of go, I don't really want any of you.
Well, so, that's advertising. Publicity is the free stuff that people look at you differently, and frankly, you get a lot more recognition. It makes a huge difference to get publicity, which is
going
free.
To do it, going to start today. Well, Jill, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for coming onto my show and spreading kindness, which we absolutely need. And I'm sure that my listeners will go out and pay it forward today after listening to this show. So I'm forever grateful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Randy, for having me.
It's been a pleasure. And have a wonderful day. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show or any other shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is always with an I, R-A-N-D-I. And thank you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. May joy and serenity and kindness always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.
Napa Know How. Papa Guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.